Good morning, everybody. We are continuing on in the book of Proverbs, but because of our special occasion today, we are focusing on mothers and the blessing that they are in our lives. And that works well because last week when we started our series in Proverbs, we talked about how Proverbs doesn't really lend itself to verse-by-verse preaching through the book, especially because of chapters 10 and onward. So we would take kind of a thematic approach, and that works out well because that's exactly what we're doing today. It's a thematic approach to the book of Proverbs and the idea of wisdom. Carson, you got a slideshow coming up here in a second? Okay, I just want to make sure there are no problems back there with it coming through. Last week we talked about the book of Proverbs, and the overarching theme of the book of Proverbs is that in life we have a choice to make. There are two different ways that we can choose to live. We can live in the way of wisdom, which is the way the book of Proverbs is telling us to live. It's recommending. It's saying most people don't choose the way of wisdom, but Solomon is writing to his son through most of the book saying, these are the proverbs, these are the words of wisdom that I'm giving you so that you can choose when you get to this fork in the road, which comes virtually every day for us, the way of wisdom versus the opposite choice, which would be the way that most of the world chooses to live, the way of the fool, the foolish way of life. So wisdom versus foolishness is the overarching theme of the book of Proverbs. And one of the recurring things that we see in the book of Proverbs is in family relationships. And that's exactly what Ron read for us today in Proverbs chapter 23. So if you haven't opened your Bible there yet, I hope that you will, because we'll be in Proverbs chapter 23. Beginning in verse 22 for today's message. And just four verses there, so it'll be good for us to read them again. And I want you to pay attention to the progression, at least see if you can identify the progression that's taking place in these verses, verses 22, 23, 24, and 25. Proverbs chapter 23. Let me read these to you. Listen to your father who gave you life. And do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. So this is the way of wisdom. How can we please the parents that have laid down the foundation of wisdom for us? That's really the goal here. And one of the things that you need to realize is that the book of Proverbs is written in a lot of ways in an ideal situation, okay? We understand that not all families, not all parents lead in the way of wisdom. We understand that not all children, when it comes to the point of view of parents, not all children continue to follow the way of wisdom, even if you set them on that path when they are young, sometimes they do depart from it, which is a little bit of a difficult thing for us because, oh, I know why my clicker's not working. Excuse me. The batteries are reversed. It won't work that way. I'm pushing my button. I'm like, why is my outline not coming up? And that's why. Here we go. We're going to do some engineering right here on the spot, and we are in business now. There we go. Life is not an ideal situation. And one of the proverbs that is often quoted, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit later on in the book of Proverbs, is proverbs that are difficult to interpret or often misinterpreted, is to train up a child in the way he should go, and in the end he will not depart from it. That's one of the difficult proverbs because a lot of people say, well, you know, I did my best. I raised my child, bringing them to church. I tried to teach them about Christ. And then when they got older, they left and they departed. But this proverb says that if you train them up right, so it must have been something that I did wrong. And that's a good opportunity for us to be reminded that the book of Proverbs is a book of ideals and it's a book of general principles, not of specific promises. So, for example, when the book of Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, and in the end he will not depart from it. That's not to be taken as a promise that if you do the good enough job as a parent, then your child inevitably, without fail, is going to follow the right path in the end. Some parents do a phenomenal job, and their children still decide to depart from the way of wisdom and don't follow Christ with their lives. That's just a reality we need to understand. But if we understand the purpose and the reason of the book of Proverbs, that it's not a book of specific promises, but of general principles in life, then we understand that in general, when you train up a child in the right way, they continue down that path in life. And when we're talking about the relationship of parents and children, godly parents and godly children, that is the goal, that is the ideal. And we want godly parents, we want godly children, but we know that none of us live in the perfect ideal situation. Even the best family in this room has parents that sometimes fail, has children that sometimes act crazy, and you've done the best job you can in discipline, and they still drive you insane at moments. That's the way that the book of Proverbs works. So as we talk about this, I don't want you to get discouraged and say, well, I should have been a better parent. I should have done the perfect job. And then that's not the direction here. This is a book of how do we go down the path of wisdom, the general principles of life. So we're going to look here, and here's our outline for today. In verse 22, we're going to talk about let's avoid putting out an eye. That's a good advice, right? You heard that from your mom? Well, I tried to like put a lot of stuff in here that you remember your mom saying to you, right? So don't put an eye out. You'll put an eye out with that. That's good advice. What are some other frequent advice that you would get from your mom? You know, don't run with the sucker in your mouth. You remember that one? Did you ever get that one? Don't run with scissors in your hand. You remember that one? Now, the really, really bad one is if they had to combine those two, and don't run with scissors in your mouth. Then you are really in trouble. We hope that never happened. You know, but that's the idea. It's like, you're playing with a long stick or, you know, big branches that fell down out of the tree out in the yard, and you're swinging them around at your brothers and sisters, and your mom's like, hey, don't do that. You'll put out an eye. That's the advice, and, you know, there's wisdom behind that. Is it likely that it's going to happen? Not necessarily, but is that a possible consequence? And last week, we began to see the theme in the book of Proverbs about correctly identifying cause and effect. So you understand that that is a possible effect of swinging a big branch around at your brother's head. You could put out his eye. It's possible. Thankfully, it doesn't normally happen, but it is a common thing to say. Now, if we start off in verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life. Listen, you know, with your ears. It's not always easy to listen to your father, right? Especially when you're growing up. And that's mainly the idea here. It's not adult children and adult fathers, that dynamic necessarily, but this is mainly talking about raising children. Listen to your father who gave you life. And do not despise your mother when she is old. And when the book of Proverbs talks about old, we think about, oh, well, it's talking about despising your mother because she's in a wheelchair and you've got to push her around, or maybe she's in a nursing home and it's a lot of extra work. But that's our culture. That's not the Bible. That's not the book of Proverbs. Being old in the book of Proverbs is a good thing. Okay, so when it says do not despise your mother when she's old, it means that you are young and she's much older than you, and somebody that's old has a lot of wisdom. So she's trying to give you her wisdom, and you're like, I don't really want to hear that. Thanks, Mom. I'm going to do my own thing. I would rather do what I want to do, not what you're advising me to do. Even though you've lived many more years than me, even though you have a lot more wisdom because of the length of your life, I'm despising your wisdom. I'm not listening to my father because I want to do my own thing. And, you know, if we're being honest, probably most of us in this room would have to admit that there was a period of life, maybe between 11 to 13 years old, beginning at that stage to 17, 18, maybe 21, maybe later for you, when your parents just seemed like the dumbest people in the world. They did not make any sense. You were just frustrated with them. Anything they told you, you were like, don't walk with me in public. Like, I remember, like, my mom was like, he won't let me walk with him in the mall. He'll like walk 10 steps in front of me or 10 steps because he doesn't want to be seen with me. Your parents were just embarrassing. Everything they said sounded ridiculous. That's what life is like at these certain ages, particularly at the age that Solomon is writing this to his son. And that's a frequent experience, if not universal. Probably not universal, but very, very common. And that's exactly why this command is needed. Have you thought about that? Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. If that was the natural thing to do, then this command wouldn't be in the Bible. It's natural for there to be division and headbutting in the household when children are that age. And here's the advice that Scripture has for us and for you today. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. It's not the natural thing to do. When they tell you, don't put, you know, you could put out an eye with that, they're recommending it, then you should listen. And you think, well, that's crazy. Or maybe something a little more realistic, your personal life, your social media, text messages, things like that. You don't want your mom and dad to know what's going on in your relationships with your friends or maybe boyfriends, girlfriends, that kind of thing. And you kind of keep it secret. You tell your friends about it. You don't tell your parents. And why is that sometimes? Maybe not all the time, but why is that sometimes? Maybe it's because you're afraid your mom and dad might say, you know, I don't think you should date that person. I don't think you should hang out with those friends. And we say, you know, I can choose. I'm old enough to choose my own friends. I don't need to listen to the advice of my mom and my dad on stuff like that. And here's what the Bible says. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother, because she has a lot of wisdom. If I was going to paraphrase that one. You see, we turn inward. A lot of times when we are afraid we may not be making a wise decision or a decision that other people might see and approve of. And I'm talking about people that love you, that care about you. I'm not saying you got to live to please the world and your peers and people that don't have your best interests at heart. I'm talking about people that really love you and want the best for you. And you're feeling like there's areas of your life that you've got to hide and be secretive about. That's probably not a good sign that you're choosing the way of wisdom in these areas. Now, there's a few other verses that talk about this. Same principle, and because we're preaching thematically, I wanted to show you a couple of them. And here's, there's one in Proverbs 30, verse 17. And this one is fascinating enough that I wanted us to go ahead and turn to it. I've got some of them up on the screen. And this goes well with not putting your eye out, because it actually tells you how to avoid that. Proverbs 30, verse 17. Let's look together at those and read them. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by ravens of the valley, will be eaten by vultures. That may not be what you expected, right? Y'all seen the movie The Birds, where like all the birds, the Alfred Hitchcock thing, when all the birds get angry at people for some reason, they all attack. They like are throwing themselves at the doors and they're trying to peck people's eyes out. You know, so what does this proverb say? Is it saying that if you don't obey your mom and dad, then a bird is going to come peck your eyes out? Because that would be an odd cause and effect, right? Last week we talked about the importance of finding cause and effect. The verse in Proverbs chapter 1 that it said, you know, the bird doesn't understand why there's a net laid out and then there's seed on top of it. He doesn't understand that if he goes and eats that, the net is going to be drawn together and he's going to be captured and eaten for dinner. The bird can't put two and two together. Cause and effect. He doesn't get it. Well, and we said that it's really important to be able to do that, to live a life of wisdom. So what is the wisdom that this verse is imparting? That if you talk back to your mom, that the bird is going to show up and peck you in the eye? I mean, that's a little bit odd, right? What's going on here? But we want, you know, what your mom always said, don't do that or you'll put your eye out. So I thought it would be a good one to go with that. But actually, this verse is a pretty fascinating verse, and it's really cool because when we talk about birds pecking out eyes and eating flesh, like is the last part of this verse, right, will be eaten by the vultures. What's really being pictured here is somebody that's left out in the wilderness dead. Their body is left decaying out. It's not been properly disposed of. It's not a good situation. And in Proverbs earlier, last week, we saw the recommendation not to get involved in criminal activity, not to get involved with groups of friends that are getting in trouble and doing bad stuff. And here's what this proverb is saying. Your mom and dad are trying to point you down a path of wisdom, but if you neglect that, if you choose to go your own way, there's a very good chance that it may cost you your life early and in a bad situation. You would end up, I mean, last week, the literal situation was they were going to go hide and ambush somebody on a deserted road. And this is almost exactly the setting. It says you mock your father, you don't listen to your mother when she says don't get involved in that kind of thing. you're going down a pathway that's going to lead to an early demise. It's going to lead toward your body just being out there where the birds are eating it. So some really important advice there is to listen to your mom and dad to understand that they have wisdom for you. Here's another one that I have for you. I think this one's coming up here. Yeah, here you go. Whoever robs their father and drives out their mother. So this would be not treating your parents with respect, not listening to them when they have advice for you, is a child who brings shame and disgrace. The idea and the theme of respecting parents and heeding their advice and their wisdom is a huge and important theme in the book of Proverbs. And that's one of the things that you need to realize and understand when we talk about living a life of wisdom, is incorporating these types of ideas. And that's not to say it's easy. I understand that there are reasons that you want to go your own way when you're in your teenage years, that you are establishing your own identity, you want to make some of your own decisions, and I understand those kinds of things. But if you find yourself only looking down your nose at your parents and their advice, then I say the Bible has some pretty strong words for you, that you need to respect parents and you need to make sure you don't get an eye put out by a raven coming along and pecking you, right? Now, let's see what's the next one. Buy what Bill Gates can't afford. Now, I thought it was Warren Buffett was the richest guy in the world, but I checked on Wikipedia, so it must be right. And it is now Bill Gates is the richest guy in the world again, so their stock values must have moved a little bit. There's one other guy in Spain that was number two. He was between Bill Gates. But anyway, the richest guy in the world, what can't he buy? I mean, he could buy anything, right? You got enough money. You got billions and billions of dollars, $60 billion to your name. Seems like there's nothing you should not be able to buy. But here, look at verse 23. We're back in chapter 23 again. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom and instruction and insight as well. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Do you get the idea there? Buy it and don't sell it. Because here's what you do when we're talking about Bill Gates and Warren Buffett in the stock market, is you want to buy stocks when they're low priced and sell them when they're high priced. So if you buy something at $10 and then you sell it when it's $20, you've made $10. You get that? Pretty simple concept, but some of you may not be familiar with how that stuff works. So you buy stuff when it's low, when the price is low and it's a good value. And then you sell it when the price is high. But here's what he says about wisdom, about what we've been talking about already that your parents have to offer. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. So when you see wisdom, when you see truth that you can gather into your portfolio, you should jump on that deal because that's a value. And even when the price goes through the roof, even when it skyrockets and you've made five times what you invested, he says, don't sell it even then because it's still undervalued in this world. You still need wisdom. So buy the truth and do not sell it. Here's some other... Now, when we look at the context of this, we just talked about the fact that your parents have wisdom that they want to impart to you, and it's saying, don't despise that. And then the next step in the process is when you get that wisdom from your parents, in parentheses, that's from our context, right? When you get that wisdom, hold on to it. Hoard it. Get as much as you can of that wisdom and don't let it go. And this is showing us the blessing of godly parents. This is what Bill Gates can't afford. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You can't buy wisdom. You can't buy what the wisdom of God's word is able to give, what the wisdom of godly counsel and godly friends and fellow church members can give, what godly parents and parents that are giving wisdom can give as well. Here, let me show you what the Bible also says about the blessing of godly parents and the wisdom that they can provide. The righteous live blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. So it's a blessing to be the child of a righteous parent who's lived in wisdom and has done all of these things, who is trying to impart wisdom to you. Let me give you another example. In Proverbs 17:6, children's children are a crown to the aged. And that's a great statement too, just by itself. The first line there talks about grandparents, right? Children's children, those are the children of your children. They are a crown to the aged. And there's a lot of joy in being a grandparent. I think a lot of you have reflect that as I've seen you and heard you talk about grandchildren, how much you love them. I know some of you are looking forward to being grandparents soon. They're a crown to the aged. So grandparents, it's like a crown you get to put on your head, and then you give them lots of candy and spoil them and everything like that. And parents are the pride of their children. Here's the second line, and this is the one that I found really, really interesting. Parents are the pride of their children. Is that what we would expect? Or is it backwards? Because if we were writing it, what we would expect is that the children are the pride of their parents, right? Because parents are proud of their children. Yeah, I'm proud of my sons. They're great. I'm proud of them. But that's not... Proverbs actually reverses that here in this verse, that parents are the pride of their children. So if you have a parent who has lived the righteous life, who has tried to impart this wisdom to you, that they should be, you should be proud of them. You should be prideful that these are my parents. They've invested in me. They've cared about me. They've loved me. I'm proud of my parents. The opposite of the common attitude toward parents that we read about in the first verse that's recommended against. So here's one more that I wanted to show you, one more example of a wise parent. They gave we see in Proverbs 31. Now, Proverbs 31 is a well-known section of the book of Proverbs, but the well-known part doesn't really start till verse 10. That's where you have the wife or the woman of noble character is the way most of your translations will put a heading on that. But here's earlier in Proverbs 31, and actually part of the same section. And it says, the sayings of King Lemuel and inspired utterance his mother taught him. Did you ever realize that the wife of noble character that's talked about later in Proverbs 31 is actually a saying from the mother of this king? It's wisdom that was imparted to him from her. That's a pretty cool perspective on it, I thought this week as I was looking at it. So his mother's teaching him. The parents are a blessing to their children, even so much to the point that the children are taking pride in their parents. So the blessing of godly parents is seen very clearly in Proverbs 23. So let's, going back to Proverbs 23 again, let's look at the next verse, verse 24. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. Now, this is Mother's Day, I know. But the book of Proverbs, it's talking about fathers here, but I don't think they're mutually exclusive. It's actually, one of the ways that Hebrew poetry works is it'll give two lines that mean almost the same thing back to back. So, for example, in verse 25 when it says, may your father and mother rejoice, may she who gave you birth be joyful, it's just talking about the general joy that comes to parents from having children that are living this. Verse 22, another example, listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. It's not saying that this is father, this is mother, and don't confuse the two. It's giving you two ways of saying the same idea. So the idea of the father of a righteous child has great joy. Also, the mother of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. So here's an opportunity. If you want to give your mother and father on Father's Day, when that comes along, if you want to give them one of the greatest gifts you can give, it's not going to be at the Hallmark store, and it's not going to be wrapped in wrapping paper. It's going to be the great joy and the rejoicing that comes from a child who is walking in the way of wisdom, who's following Jesus, who says, I trust in the Lord with all of my heart and don't lean on my own understanding. I'm living a life of faith in God and his word. I'm living a life of wisdom down that pathway, not the life of foolishness. So that's my encouragement to you this morning, is to live lives that cause this kind of joy and happiness among your mother and father. Verse 25, may your mother and father rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. You have an opportunity today. Maybe you forgot Mother's Day and forgot a present altogether, or didn't get flowers, or maybe you're in the doghouse for those kind of things. But something deeper and even more lasting is by living a life that's following what the scriptures teach. Had just a couple verses to show you to give you this. Look at the contrast here. Proverbs 10:1 and Proverbs 15:20. Now, Proverbs 10:1 is the first verse in the new section of the book of Proverbs. The first nine chapters of Proverbs tell some stories, and they work well as chapters together. But when you get to chapter 10, that's the section of Proverbs that we usually think about, that it's just a bunch of two-line sayings that seem pretty disconnected from each other. That's like, when you think of the book of Proverbs, starting in chapter 10, that's what Proverbs is. And the very first one of those Proverbs is, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Almost verbatim, five chapters later, Proverbs 15:20, a wise son brings joy to his father, that line is exactly the same, but a foolish man despises his mother. You see the change there between the two? One is brings grief to his mother. The next one is despises his mother. One is a son, one is a man, but get the same meaning there. Now, here's where I have maybe some stronger words of challenge for you, is that what is Scripture teaching us here? Listening to your parents, listening to words of wisdom, listening to the wisdom that's found in Scripture. Obey and heed these things, or you will worry your mother to death. That's kind of the idea there, right? You will worry your mother to death. And it's not just that she's going to be worried about you. The next step in that is your actual attitude toward her in making that choice is that you are despising her in doing that. And you may say, I don't despise my mother. I love my mother. I just make some bad choices now and then. But here's what Scripture is telling you today. By not caring enough to choose the way of wisdom, to not care enough to make wise decisions, what your heart is saying is that you don't care enough about your mother to do those kinds of things. A foolish man despises his mother. Like I said, that's a little bit of a stronger way of saying it. But I want to challenge you today that the words that are laid out for us here in Scripture, that Jesus teaches us in the Gospels, in his own teachings, that the epistles of the New Testament, the letters that Paul and Peter and James and others wrote, that these contain words of life and words of joy and the way of wisdom. So if you are not currently making a point, making it a priority in your life to know and to follow these words, I want to challenge you to love not only your mother and father, those around you that care about you, that may have been praying for you for a long time, but to love God and Jesus, because they're the ones that have given us these words in the first place. One more example. To have a fool for a child brings grief. And some of you know that grief. Some of you have children that have chosen the path of foolishness rather of wisdom. And I want to urge you to continue praying for them and speaking to them words of encouragement to move away from that path and to the path of wisdom. There is no joy for the parent of a godless fool. Guys, don't put your parents in that situation. Be there for them. Love them by following the way of wisdom that they have tried their best, maybe imperfectly, but they have tried their best to impart to you. They want to see you succeed. They want to see you do well. They want to see you know Christ. They want to see you in heaven when you die. They want to see you live long and prosper, right? I had to say it. It was too good. They don't want to see your eyes pecked out by ravens. God's word lays out this path of wisdom. And aren't we thankful today for parents who have urged us along that path as well? Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the blessing of godly parents that so many of us have been able to experience and have benefited from in immeasurable ways in our lives. And God, for those that look back at their childhood and they don't see wisdom and love coming from their mother, father, others that may have been involved in raising them, God, we pray for you to bind up and heal wounds in that area of their life, that you would provide other means for them to learn and to know the way of wisdom, and that even as Jesus stands today, calling them and urging them to start down that path by trusting you as Lord and Savior, that you would allow them and give them a heart and desire to do exactly that. God, help us to forsake foolishness. Help us not to go down the paths of life that your word urges us against, but help us to know and follow Christ. And that's our prayer today. We need your Holy Spirit's help. because left to our own, we would fail again and again. It's only by your grace and your mercy that we can do that. And we ask it today in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.